Let's give a great big hand for Michelle, huh? Amen. You know, she always surprises me. And that wasn't planned. But she has a big heart, and she sees the need that is out there. And there is a tremendous need of pouring and pouring. And how many have seen recently this outpouring of fentanyl heroin outpouring? I mean, come on, let's be real about it. I know back in the day, like when you heard about needles, it was like, ah! But now it's like a needle's not a problem. Let's just smack it. And I think now it's snorting and smoking too. I don't know. Can you snort fentanyl and heroin, I guess, now? Is it snortable now? Is it smokable now? Snortable and smokable? So that being said, it's getting crazy. And we really do need to hit this area that is happening. And not only that, there is plenty of ministry that needs to go around. And I'm grateful for, you know, the message of offering and giving. And all of your support deep down in my heart, our family's grateful. With that being said, you know, this ministry is a ministry of I want to say now, a now word. And why I say a now word is because God is alive and living, and he's speaking to us all the time in this hour. And well read, you know, how will we know if God is a preacher? And that preacher has been sent by God. And if anyone knows, I'm going to say our testimony, because God has raised up the other pastors in this ministry, Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, alongside of me, God has sent us to bring his word to those who have an ear to hear. And we are now throughout the internet, the world wide web. There's thousands of people that are logging on, listening on a daily basis. And I don't even know where our numbers are now. They're up there. And it's through your support. And it's best for those that are listening to be here, because getting here is different when you're, even though you can get touched by God through the internet, through listening to a tape. How many people have been touched just by listening through tapes? Yeah, amen. I've heard a lot of testimonies just listening through tapes, and there's a lot of people's lives have been changed just by listening to the tapes. But there's also something very personal when you come here, because they're at the end of the service, you know, God begins to start revealing things and speaks personally. Allows that more intimate time of knowing and saying, wow, God is truly real. Just, you know, seeing me and hears me. And he even used a moron, a fool, to reveal that. And I'm the moron fool to reveal his word to you. But moving forward, God is saying something in this hour. And what he has been ministering to me about is approaching him. A lot of people think that they can just come to God, you know? But if you look at who God really is, God is a majestic being, a supreme being. Not everyone can go to the Lord, you know? Not everyone can come to God. How many people have? If you look at the truth, God searches and looks for the broken and contrite heart. I got a scripture I want to read before I open this service up. And it's in Psalms. And you don't have to have your Bibles or anything. But if you do, you can check it out. It's Psalms chapter 34, verse 15 through 19. And it says here, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do
cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such who have a contrite spirit. Many are afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. And I share that because there are a lot of people who are suffering, and I'm one of them. And then there's a lot of people who really aren't suffering, or they're able to deal with their afflictions. We have a lot of comfort in this Western world. I don't know anyone who's really suffering other than your daily drama, you know, of worry and fear. But if you look at other countries, there's a lot of suffering out there. How many people are understanding this one? So, the Western world, we got it pretty good. I don't think there's really much suffering other than our own torment that we put on ourselves. But there is a lot of suffering out there in the world. But I want to speak to those that are listening. If you hear my voice, I guarantee that God is looking at you. If you hear my voice, I guarantee God is looking at you right now. God is knocking at your door right now. Those that hear this voice, God is knocking on your door. And I don't know how much I can express that alone. If you hear this voice, God has his finger on you. He's looking at you. He's knocking at your door. There is salvation in the midst of your troubles. I'm just going to say your afflictions, your troubles. And he's listening to your cry. But I also want to speak to those who think that they're crying, who think that they know God, and they can just walk and say, "Hey, God, how you doing?" There's a sense of pride within all of us. And I'm going to say that again. Within all of us. And I want to say it again. Within all of us. But God means this. There is a part of us, and it's nature. It's human nature. It's the soul that has dignity, that feels as though that they are deserved something. How many people here today alone feel like they deserve something? I'm going to tell you, I'm a victim. There are times where I feel that I've been mistreated. There have been times where I feel as though that I have been used and taken advantage of. How many people feel that way? Let's be honest. Well, in the eyes of God, that's a form of pride. And that, in itself, kind of makes us seem like we need to cry out, "Oh, God, please help me. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of." Well, to be honest with you, the doors are closed. He's not hearing. He's not listening because he doesn't listen to the cry of a pride voice. I want to share this word because God has been speaking to his people. He's saying, "Hey, Jim, I want you to know what's going on out there. I want you to hear what's happening out there because I love my people. I want my people. I want to help their infirmities. I want to help them with their sicknesses. I want to help them with their diseases. I want to set them free." But you have to understand, I'm a majestic king. I am the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm the Almighty. You just can't barge into my throne. You can't just barge in and think that I'm going to set you free and save you. Where is your value? Where is your offering? Where is your sacrifice? What are you bringing to me? This is what I feel that the Lord is saying to us today. What are we bringing to him as a sacrifice, as a love offering, as a giving, as something to say, "Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm going to tell you what he desires. I'm going to get you to the throne room. And I'm going to get you to where God hears every word you say. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Sacrifice. He wants to make. He wants to all. He wants everything. So when you begin to start worrying, he wants your worry. When you start to have fear, he wants your fear. If you begin to start having concerns about tomorrow, he wants your concerns. And when you can humble yourself and lay those down at his feet, oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, that in itself opens up the door of the throne room of God. He begins to say to you, well done. You begin to start seeing who I am. You are starting to see my majestic King and Lord and Savior of the world. You're beginning to understand the royalty and how much I love you. Because by your faith and your expression of love, by giving him your everything, he's saying, now, your faith has made you whole. Now, your love has touched my heart, and I have the authority and the power to deliver. Now, I have the authority and the power to set you free.
Now, I will take away your diseases, your troubles, your worries, because you've given them to me. You begin to realize who I am. How many people are beginning to follow what I'm saying here? I'm going to tell you, if you're like me, I want my prayers to be answered. I don't want to be going in my cry room, my broken, contrite heart room, in my time of the Lord, and he doesn't hear me. I don't want a lead ceiling over my access. I don't want to have a brick wall between me and the Lord. I don't even want a veil. I don't want anything between me and him. And I understand now the power that breaks that wall, the power that rips the veil, the power that opens up the door. God is standing there knocking. He's knocking, and he's going to and fro looking for every broken, contrite heart. And if you're like me, your heart's broken. And I know that if anyone is hearing this voice, their heart is broken. They're broken. They may not look broken. Like, I tend to try to handle myself good. I keep a smile on my face, you know. I try to be real. But at the same time, I'm casting all my worries and cares and all that other stuff. And I'm trying my hardest. But at the same time, my heart's broken. It's heavy. How many people have that heavy heart? It just seems like no matter what you do, another thing's on your plate. Another thing's laying heavy on your shoulders. There's another issue, another problem, another something, circumstance that you have to face. It's an ever endless situation. And it seems like it never goes away. But as we begin to start recognizing God and who he is, and we offer those sacrifices to him, there's a power that comes. And God is saying, I want to introduce my power to you. I want to show you my glory. I want to show you who I am. Because the world really doesn't know God. The world doesn't really understand who God is. If you ask people who they think God is, they might direct you to a denomination, or they might direct you to a certain type of sect or religion or whatever it might be. But they really don't describe who God is. Even say it in your own heart. How do you interpret who God is? I say it in one word, really. Awe. I can't express as much as I like to. He's awe. He's my awe. Oh. And I believe that as we approach moving forward in our lives, and as we begin to lay these things down, look, I understand how hard it is to lay down your circumstances and you think that life is going to change. Everyone's looking for a change in life. Everyone is looking for that hope. But the hope will never come if we don't bring an offering to God. And that offering is a sacrifice of our lives. We have to lay everything down. We look at our circumstances and we say it's not going to change, or it's not going to get any better. We keep hoping and hoping and hoping, and maybe see slight changes. But if we really want to see an impact in our lives, if we really want to see something happen in our lives, if we really want to see the glory of God, we come to Him with that sacrifice of throwing our cares, our worries, our fears, and our life. You know how many times we look at ourselves and we get depressed? You know how many times we look at our situation and we're not happy? All day. If you're like me, I battle it. Oh, I wish things could be better. They're good, but I wish they could be better. I could be over here, I could be doing this, I could have that, I could be this, whatever. How many people have ever felt that way? It could be better. How about our looks? Could be better. My looks, it could be better. It could be better. Everything could be better. But this sacrifice that God is looking for is, it is better. Lord, I'm giving it to you because it is better. I'm going to be content. I'm going to be content. And then I'm going to give you my hopes. The reason why we think it could be better is because our hopes have never really came to fruition. Our hopes never really came alive. And the reason why our hopes never came alive is because we really never made God the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our hope. He is our life. And as we go and give Him our life, He then turns around and gives us our life. He gives it back to us. He gives it back to us in the sense of our hopes. So what you really hope for, when you lay your life in His hands and you surrender the fears and the worries and the disappointments and the oppression and all those things that we're afflicted by, and we give it to Him, He then turns around and fulfills us with the hope that's inside of us. How many of us make sense out of that? And this is why a lot of times we're dry and thirsty. And to be quenched so that we're never thirsty again is this sacrifice that we bring to Him. And it's as simple as laying your life down. We've heard similar things like this, but really didn't quite have an understanding of what it's like to lay your life down. What is it to really give Him everything? It's like this. Don't care about nothing. Hope. Listen, I got a lot of cares. I want things different. I like things changed. I like things this way. I like things that way. But they never seem to be that way. They never seem to manage to go that way. How many feel the way I feel? And I began to realize it's because I'm caring about Him. I got to stop caring about Him. And it's hard. It's hard to stop caring. Like me, I think I have this disorder where things have to be organized. Like, you know, you can't be disarrayed. Things like, I know exactly where my keys are. I know exactly where this is. I know my desk might look like a big mess, but I know where everything is on the desk. And if somebody moves it, I'm like freaked out. There's something out of place. I can walk in a room and realize, oh, something was moved. Who moved it? And I don't know if it's a wacky disorder or what, but it's kind of like a care. Why should I care? Well, the reason why I don't want it moved is because when I go to look for it, it's not there. Well, I realize it's a wound. I've been hurt before. I've been hurt. Because how many times have something been moved and I couldn't find it? It wastes my time. It wastes my day. I get frustrated. I get angry. And it's like, don't touch my stuff. It's my stuff. Don't touch my stuff. You got your stuff. I got my stuff. I don't touch your stuff, so don't touch my stuff. Don't touch it. If I want my stuff there, my stuff's going to stay there. And your stuff, I look at your stuff all day long. I don't touch it. So don't go touching my stuff. And I realized I got a hurt. I got a hurt, or I got a wound, because somebody must have been moving my stuff. And then when I went to look for my stuff wasn't there. And I got angry, and I got upset, and And I lived with it, and I realized God wants to set me free. He wants to set me free. And now if I just give him that, I guarantee no one will touch my stuff. It's almost like he sends little gremlins out just to touch with my stuff so that I can cry out to him and say, Lord, please help me. Get these people to stop touching my stuff. God knows every hair on your head. And he knows the things that get you to be broken. And I'll tell you what, if you're like me, after a while, you surrender. And there was a pinnacle point in my life where I just had my stuff moved so much that I gave up. It's like, fine. Let me go and see if they're there. Now I'm like, let me go see if it's there. Oh, it's there. Wonderful. Now I'm really happy when I find that my stuff wasn't touched. I'm like praising God. Hey, thank you, God. Wow, my stuff hasn't been touched. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. I got a praise inside of me because my stuff wasn't touched. And then when I find that my stuff is touched, I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. Help me find it. Where could it be, Lord? Show me. It's touched. You put it somewhere. I know it. I know it. Because you want me to come to you. You want me to come to you in all things. So I'm here, Lord. Let's find it. And then I'll close my eyes and he'll reveal to me. And it's like, it's on your dresser. Oh, let me go look. Oh, praise God, he revealed. I didn't have to waste my whole day looking all over for it. Here it is. It's on my dresser. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. You're so great. God is searching for our praise. He's looking for our praise. He's looking for this relationship. As quirky as it sounds, he's looking for a relationship. He's longing to be the one who handles everything, who takes care of everything, the one who makes a way where there is no way. Look, we're set up and we are born with his life in us. And he wants to give us his life that he put inside of us. He knows what makes you tick and what doesn't make you tick. He knows. And it's as we lay our lives down to him, he has fun with us. And only to receive praise. Only to get that recognition. He wants us to recognize him all the time. He wants us to see his glory all the time. Now, if you're like me, and I know you are, when you're worrying or fearing about something, or you're concerned about something, are you really looking at God? Or are you focusing on the circumstance? You see, these things are robbing our relationship from him. And God doesn't want that. He's like, you're letting these little goofy things separate you and I. You're letting these things that I can control and I can give and I can take it away. I can do whatever it is. And you're separating my glory over this. You're giving power and you're worshiping this and not me. Just worship me and watch how I'll bring these things to pass. Watch how I change your life. Watch how I give you your hope. Watch how I restore what the cankerworm and the locust took. Watch what I give back. I looked at a couple of relationships in Scripture. And some of us might know the story about Job. How many people know the story about Job? Job was a very authentic man, had a lot of things, you know, had it going on. But he had a lot of cares too. And one day, darkness went up to God and said, hey, do you see the righteousness of Job? Let me play with Job. And I'm paraphrasing this, by the way. And God's like, yeah, I see the righteousness of Job. Now you have to understand, what is the righteousness that God desires? His righteousness. And what is God's righteousness? I'll tell you right now. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind is the righteousness of God. It's not our works. It's not being a good person. It's not all that stuff. It's about giving your life to God. That's that gift that you bring to the altar. That gift that you give to God, that sense of worship that you give, which is your life, which is all your cares, which is all your worries, all your fears, all your concerns, all that, you're giving it to Him, which I know it's impossible, but you give it to Him, and it's impossible, because if you're like me, worry gets a grip on you, it's hard to sleep. When fear gets a grip on you, it's hard to move on and make that step to go forward. When fear grabs a hold of us, it's hard to make a commitment, isn't it? I understand. But if we can just give it to God, that's pure worship. That's worship. That in itself is righteousness. If anyone wants to know what righteousness is in the eyes of God, I just gave it to you. It's not about works. It's not about doing good things. It's not about anything other than giving your worries, fears, cares, your life to Him. And it's impossible. But we long to seek His righteousness so that our prayers, our life, could be answered. I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. Because one of the last things I ever want to see is someone who has a love for God just can't get to the throne room. Just can't get face to face with His glory. Cannot be able to see His goodness because He's not doing anything for you. He's not opening up those doors where those doors need to be opened. He's not closing those doors where those doors need to be slammed shut. He's not healing or delivering our afflictions or our problems. And that breaks my heart. To see people who have a love for God suffer. I know an individual. He's a good man. Proclaims he loves God. He tries to be really good. If you ever met him, you would think he's a great guy. He has afflictions. There's an ailment. He's got diseases. There's things wrong with him. And I know how he can get healed. But I can't give him his healing. Only God can heal. How many people understand that? Only God can heal. Now I know how to heal him. But only God gives the healing. And why I express that is because you can lead someone to the water, but you just can't make them drink. And if there is any, I'm going to tell you, God resists pride. He resists pride. He believes pride stinks. But we don't know what really pride is. So don't try to figure out if you got pride or not. Figure this one out. Do you have his righteousness? If you have his righteousness, it does away with pride. Because you know how hard it is to humble yourself, to give him your fears, your worries, your cares, your life? You know how humble you have to be to literally lay your life down and cast your cares on him? So don't worry about pride. Worry about his righteousness. Do you have righteousness in your life? Can you see the righteousness of God in your life? I fall short of his righteousness. But at the same time, I try to get right back on the train. I try as quick as I can, when I see fear and worry and cares take a grip on me, I try to cast them down as fast as I can. Oh my God, what the heck am I doing? I know the truth. Oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I caring about this? I got to let it go. How many people here were here last week? How many heard about my machine problem? It broke down and I got a little worried, right? I fought it. And I won the fight. Because it came back as something very, very minor. It came back to where I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I can't believe this. It came back to where it was so minuscule. I was like, why didn't I see this myself? How come I didn't catch that? I could have fixed that if I only looked. You know, those kind of things. And it was minuscule. It was small. The amount that I had to pay was very minimum. And my mind, my worries, my fears were saying thousands of dollars. How many people understand? But we serve a gracious, wonderful God. And I feel in my heart, I truly feel in my heart, that if I continued to fear and worry about the circumstance, it would have brought what I was fearing and worrying about. My fears and my worries would have manifest in real life. Listen, I just gave you a very important key. Your fears and your worries through your faith are manifesting your nightmare. How many people caught that? We got to give them up. We got to give them up. We got to lay them down. We got to lay them down. The things that we are worrying and fearing and concerned about, we are manifesting them right before our eyes, and we don't even know it. It's supernatural. It's the truth. That's why things aren't really manifesting and happening in our lives. That's why the situations sometimes seem to get worse. We have to stop the curse. It's a curse. It's a curse in our lives, and we have to lay our concerns, our fears, our worries down, and we have to come to the throne room of righteousness. We need to come to God through his righteousness. And his righteousness is only laying our lives down. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard. It's hard. I am not going to say it's easy. We're all going to fall short. I battle every day trying to lay fears and worries down, but I keep reminding myself who God is. I keep reminding myself that he is the God of creation, and I wasn't around to put the ring around Leviathan's nose. I wasn't the one who tamed the ones that are untamable. I look at the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. I guess I might be saying that right. I don't know. But if you know the story about that king was very up there and stout and very high esteemed and all that other stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, he lost everything. And his mind went crazy. And his fingernails got really big and his hair got really woolly and crazy. And he just basically was nuts. But when he began to realize who God was, when he began to realize his majestic power and his might and who he is, he restored him and gave him back his hope, gave him back his kingdom, gave him back his life. What was taken from him, he realized who God was. I say this today, that if we can just turn to his righteousness, if we could just turn to God's righteousness and stop manifesting our worst nightmares. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's our worst nightmares. If you take what is happening in your life and what you're complaining about, it's coming alive. If you look at your situation and what you don't want to see happen, and you're worrying it, and you constantly fear it, what is happening? It's growing. It's growing like a plague. It's coming alive. It's manifesting right before our lives. And you might have some hidden deep secrets in your heart that you've been kind of keeping tied up. You give it some time, and it will manifest and come alive in your life. Your worst nightmares will come alive. But if we lay our lives down in his righteousness, and it's simple, but it's hard. It's probably one of the hardest things that anyone could do. How many people would agree with me on this? When something's bothering you and you're worrying, when you have something that you have to face and you don't want to face it, or you got a situation and it's like you really don't want to deal with it and you're just buying time, making up excuses, and you just don't want to face it. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard. I want to hear everybody say, it's hard. It's hard. Let's say it again. It's hard. It's really hard. It's really, really, really hard. I'm going to tell you right now, you're being set free right now. Because someone told you, just get over it. Someone said, just get over it. Suck it up. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't suck up your own fears and your own worries. It's tough. And you look at them and say, and I know you said this before, you're not wearing my shoes. You're not in my situation. You have no clue what it is to be me. I know. Because you're just like me. I know. Because we fight the same fights. We fight the same battles. For me to stand up here and say I don't fight your battle, I would be a hypocrite and a liar. But I will say, I strive for the righteousness of God. When I begin to backslide, and we all fall short of the glory, when I begin to backslide, I look at who God is. And I say, God, you can handle this. Because in you, I'm strong. In you, I'm a conqueror. In you, I can do all things. In you. How do I get in you? By laying these things down. When I lay my fears and my worries down, I become in him. Me and him become one. When I give him my everything, him and me become one. When I lay my fears and cares and all that, you know what, Lord? Have them. You know, I heard Michelle's message, and I really admire it. She's proclaiming she's not there yet, but I say you're there. The best thing is you see it. And when you see it, you walk to it. If you weren't there, you would be blind. But you're there. You see. And with that, you just move forward. You see the light. Just move to the light. The light is what heals, delivers, and sets us free. We're born in darkness. We don't know the truth. But as soon as we see the light, as soon as we're born in truth, as soon as we see it, we're healed, we're delivered, we're set free. Let us see God's righteousness by laying our lives down. It's hard. Everyone agrees with me. It's hard. And you have every right to feel that way. Don't ever feel guilty or ashamed. Don't ever feel ashamed or weak. Don't ever lose hope, because it's hard. And we're all battling the same battles. It's hard. But through him, we can be strong. And we can get through this. Through him, we can overcome our situations, overcome our battles. A broken, contrite heart. The word contrite literally means that you're insufficient. You're subject for failure. You're subject to fall. If we know this in our heart and agree with it, God hears our prayer. If we know in our heart that we're subject to fall, we're subject to fail, not all things are going to work out, but we move forward. Not all things are granted to us. We don't deserve anything. That's a contrite heart. And if we can continue with that broken, contrite heart and come to him with our concerns and lay them at his feet, I'm going to tell you one thing. You're standing at the throne room of God. If you can come this way, you are standing before him, and he's saying, what are your wishes? What do you wish? My ears are opened. What do you pray? My ears are opened. What is your request? My ears are opened. And then you give him your request and walk away. And just continue to worship him. Whether he gives them to you or not will show you his righteousness. And when you still continue to say, I request and now I turn away, whatever your will is, so be it. He sees his righteousness. So when you come before him in righteousness, he sees your face and he sees his righteousness. And when you turn away and walk away and say, I gave him my request and so be it, whatever he chooses to do, as you walk away, he sees his righteousness. And in that, he grants you. He grants you your hopes, because your hopes are your request. Your hopes are what you desire. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing us how to come to the throne room. That your love for us is so deep and so wide that you want us to clothe ourselves with your righteousness. You long for us to wear your righteousness as a covering. And you're guiding us and leading us today. Father, I thank you, Lord. And give us the strength today. Because we're all weak. We all have a hard time. Because of the hope that's in us, we get emotionally involved in it. Involved. And we don't want to fail. We don't want to lose. And we don't want others to see our failures. But Lord, you know. So we give you our heart. We give you the desires of our heart. We give you our life in your righteousness. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.